They're great.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Right. What happened to Terry Bradshaw's voice?
Coach Tom Coughlin, come in here, Coach. This football team. I know. Go ahead, Coach. Touch it, kiss it, whatever you want to do. This football team put on a defensive display tonight, the likes of no one has ever seen.
Incredible.
Did you expect this to happen tonight against a football team that was undefeated?
Why men's rooms?
That's what, like, what you said, the part about touch it, feel it,
kiss it.
Yeah.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You're all for funny, aren't you?
That was funny.
Thank you, Larry. I just got
your message. Barack Obama.
That's your big bitch.
Balls on fire. The Don and Mike Show.
We are experiencing audio difficulties from our local program. No adjustment of your set is necessary.
No, we're not.
Please stand by.
Are you insane?
Are you insane?
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I've been listening to you guys in Sacramento since you've been on the air, and listened pretty closely, Don. I want to thank you, and I think it's great you're doing what you're doing. I also wanted to ask Mike if it's just me, or have you picked up on the sense that Don's going in the way of Pat Summerall and Harry Carey towards the end of their careers?
Now, would that be like a Swiss cheese stomach with blood coming up when he throws up?
And he's gone.
He's gone. I'll never know what he really meant by that.
Not a serious question.
It might be Beaties. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've got Beaties yet. And
are you ever going to make the comment, I was the king of unwinding? I still remember Pat Summerall's quotes when he left.
And I don't care how old I will ever get. My hands will never look like burn victim Pat Summerall. He's never in an accident where he's on fire, but
he had that paper thin skin.
Yeah, those Freddy Krueger hands.
Yeah, hands that almost look like they've been out in the sun, but they really haven't.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, radio guys, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Mike, I want to ask you. I'm going to New York for work. You want to pick up any championship gear up there?
No, I think I'm all set. I'm very, very content with everything that's going on. And you know what? I'm not going to buy the stuff like I would with the Red Sox because I don't think I was a good football fan. And I haven't been a good football fan for about 5 years.
Very nice of this guy to offer, though, because I don't know where you'd find that stuff.
Very tough to find today.
It is.
They did show
I also don't like the hats. I don't like them. I don't like the Super Bowl champion hats.
They're more generic looking than before, aren't
they? Yeah, almost cheesy looking.
They're just hats.
Why hats?
Why do you favor hats?
Hats, hello. Baby.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yes, I'd like to speak to Don and Mike.
Wish granted. We are your genie. Oh, and incidentally, whatever that company is with the genie commercial.
Yes. Oh, they sucked.
Please have something happen to them today.
Right. Yes, please.
Because the animation was very close to like Progressive or whatever the insurance company is, the bad, trying to look like Japanese animation.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that they got away with was that one commercial that just about might as well have had Japanese people with big buck teeth going, "Oh, I like it so much."
I didn't like that. I didn't like the one where, and all I know is there were rolling, it was like a stick figure rolling a ball up a hill and
Sisyphus.
Putting it on it. What was that?
I don't remember what the ad was for, but that's Sisyphus. The
it
guy
was horrible.
Pushing a rock up the hill.
But I mean, it was horrible. You've got all that money to spend on a commercial. Uh-huh. And the other, the Honda Element one with the crab.
Yeah,
I pinched the pigskin. Yeah. That sucked.
Listen, two ads. I thought were good. All first, right. The guy, like I said, the guy in bed with the car in there, and he's.
And it's good that they used the guy that played Mo Green in The Godfather, not the same role of the movie producer, but they had that guy.
And the other one, I did like the commercial with Joe Buck at the very end, the beer commercial with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
That was a good one. Did you like the baby? My favorite was the baby one when the baby puked.
Yeah, that's a good
I
one.
I really, because I did catch everybody by surprise, and it did make me laugh out loud.
However, you know, the Budweiser thing with the dog that wants the
The dog and the horse. How many times do we get to see that?
I'm not about animal violence. I love animals, but would you like me? Did you want to see the horses like smash that dog's head in?
But how about a little horse manure? How about that? How about we go in that direction?
The reason it was so popular, Don, is it had a beginning, a middle, and an N.
Somebody they were actually analyzing the commercials.
It told a story. It incorporated music. It had animals, and that's the 10th year.
Is Chris Kattan that legendary a performer where after all these years you build an entire commercial?
What, The Night at the Roxbury?
You really build a commercial around him?
Yeah, because that song, yeah, I think so.
Really?
And, yes, and it was good to have him doing the cameo.
And you made me laugh when you were reacting to the guy that likes to show his body all the time.
Ferrell.
William.
Ferrell, Will Ferrell.
Am I the only one who got a chuckle out of the screaming animals?
Yes.
Wow. I thought that was the only one that was even it was.
Oh,
even
wait,
a little bit
wait. The other one that comes to mind is the lady with the unibrow. The lady that rubs peanuts
like
on
that.
Her. I like that one. That I enjoyed that.
And about the game itself, I found as the game went on, maybe you guys will understand, appreciate this, something monumental was happening. We were about to see, everybody forgets that all of these talking heads for 2 weeks have just been saying, Patriots are the greatest team of all time.
They've all been prepared to anoint them, yeah.
I was sitting there watching this like everybody at the edge of my seat. Eli Manning throws that last touchdown pass, and I turned to Janet and I said, this is bigger than the Jets.
Right.
I'm serious. Huge. And what do they say on Fox? Instead of saying, hey, this could be the biggest upset of all time, you're watching history, you know what they say? There's 24 seconds left, and with three timeouts, for Tom Brady, who we'd all like to go south of the border with.
Oh, amazing. They've all got their prep for him.
Yep. Yeah. We realize that Jim Nance does a pretty good job of giving Tom a prostate exam, but we'd like to as well because the odds are really against him. But, God, he's handsome.
Right.
And he's super. And, why, that's an eternity.
Like their political
guy. They got
20. Do you think that part of that – I was trying to figure out why – the broadcasters of the game were going in that direction. Why the only thing I came away with is that they probably had their whole prep done based on that. They were ready for their spiels. They probably had it. You know, Nance tipped his hand with that, where he kind of pre-does his anointment of the Super Bowl champion.
I think those guys pretty much had it decided that no matter what happened, New England was going to win,
and they were going to have all the right things to say.
And they would look really stupid if at one point they said, you know, not only is that Eli Manning pass to the guy that caught the pass on his head, maybe is that not only the greatest pass in the history of the Super Bowl, hello, everybody, the Giants are going to win this game.
Yeah. Right, right. They didn't seem to want to go with that.
There was none of that.
No, because I think they probably had their little prepared speeches all memorized, and they didn't get a chance to use them during the game. And I think it took away from the recognition of the moment, which was pretty amazing. I guess that receiver that caught the ball for the Giants on the top of his head, Tynes, is that the guy's name?
No, that's the kicker. It's David Tyree.
I get those guys confused. And
guy got an easy way you can tell them apart.
I know.
Isn't that right, Robbie?
Absolutely.
But they really, it was almost like, okay, we're forgetting this moment because we're waiting for the dream scenario to happen with Tom Brady.
Meanwhile, if you bother to watch any of the ridiculous pregame show or any of the ridiculous stuff leading up to this, to a man, it would be 9.99999 talking heads all said Patriots.
Yeah.
Patriots.
Right.
Patriots. That guy Ron Jaworski, he's an okay announcer. I like him fine.
Jaws.
I saw him literally 10 minutes before kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
Final score, Patriots 34, Giants 10, talking with his hands.
Right.
I saw the same guy 10 minutes after the game. Here's why I'm not surprised the Giants were able to win this game today.
Exactly. Exactly.
Jesus.
It was truly amazing. It was great, and I think probably everybody agrees it was one of the great Super Bowls of all time.
I think the best ever.
And really, just on a pure football game level, just what a great game.
And if you're like myself, maybe someone who wasn't hit with the handsome stick when you were growing up, so nice to see the retarded-looking guy beat the good-looking guy.
And isn't it nice to see Eek the Geek, Eli Manning, to see him stay Eeky, even after he's named the Super Bowl MVP?
He's still
Eek
still
the Geek.
Clueless.
And I suddenly realized, you know what? He is what he is, and that's exactly why he was able to be successful. He's not going to change.
He still looks like the special child even when he's showered and in a suit. I mean, he really looked like someone that needed assistance.
And he still forgets what the play clock has on it, which always cracks
all the time.
I mean, I'm screaming at the TV because I'm like, look, it's a big giant clock. Pay attention to it.
Remember your teammate threw a ball at it.
I mean, as I'm watching the game, I'm thinking, 7-3, this is a low-scoring game. The greatest Super Bowl ever. It seems to me everybody would agree. The Giants, even when they were losing, they were winning, yet the cats on Fox were happy to say, it's a Giants team that's been banged up. So I'm sure I'm like a lot of people. They started this stuff saying, For Tom Brady, this is an eternity. And when that guy from the Giants came through and nailed his ass for the sack, it was great because you could actually see it on the faces of the Patriots linemen like, hey, what the frick?
What happened?
What happened?
We're the Patriots.
Well, even going down to the last seconds, I mean, that pass that he threw to Randy Moss, I mean, that was a Tom Brady laid it right in the breadbasket. I mean, it was a Hail Mary pass, and he almost caught the thing. He really did. And everybody was kind of saying, hey, there's still potential. But they forgot such key elements to the game. The announcers didn't seem to pay attention to the fact that even with the Giants scoring, the Patriots were on the field for a hell of a lot of that second half. Oh. And these guys are all cramping up and eating bananas, and they're not paying enough attention to that.
At one point, I called Rob. Very rarely I'll call anyone during a game,
right,
especially an important game. But as the Giants were doing that opening drive,
mm-hmm,
I called him up and I said, first off, sign they're going to win the game. They've had the ball so long. Second,
8 minutes.
Second, this is killing Fox television.
Right.
Because they had run from the time they took the ball, they would go first down, no stopping of the clock.
Right.
Second down, no stopping. Then they got all these first downs that were inbounds first downs. Mm-hmm. And by the time I looked up, the game in real time had been on 15 minutes.
That's why the fourth quarter was so long, because they were trying to cram all their commercials in there.
Because you understand, unless there is a stop in the action, especially in the beginning, they can't jam any commercials in there.
And right, you know, and as far as the commercials are concerned, you said this, I think, a couple of weeks ago, that because of the whole Janet Jackson thing, I mean, it's just not where it was.
Hey,
it's so watered down. Even the funny ones aren't all that funny.
Can we pussify, and I wish they would, Victoria's Secret anymore?
Right.
My God, it's a place that sells delicate underwear for girls,
mm-hmm,
yet the girl was all covered up.
Now,
right?
Will Ferrell in that commercial would have been better.
Bingo.
That would have worked a little bit better.
The best call I got was right after the game, and I was flipping around trying desperately to find Belichick on TV.
Right.
Because, you know, they never cover the losers, only the winners. And a buddy of mine calls up and says, turn on ESPN right now. You're going to love it. So I turn it on, and it's Trey Wingo, and this is 5 minutes after the game was over. He said, we're on the phone with, guess who? Mercury Morris.
Oh, yeah, that's it. And they went to that. They had that ready to go.
And my God, Mercury Morris.
They're having a party.
He had been such a jackass about this. It had been maybe the only reason I'd really been rooting for the Patriots
right,
to win. And he was just like, ha!
Was he really?
Ha! Where did you watch the game? He's on the telephone. I watched it at the bar of the Sheraton with Jerry Kramer of the Green Bay Packers. And I want to tell you, there's only one undefeated team.
You know, there were a lot of drunk guys from the 72 Dolphins that they were excited about that game. I was very curious. I would have loved to know what Larry Zonka was up to. I'd really like to see if he's like in his own vomit, just, you know, going, I knew it.
I did see a bunch of those guys interviewed where quite a few of them said, you know, we don't all just, I think Jim Kick, who was a cool guy,
right,
as I recall, when they
very
were,
cool guy,
was Zonka and Kick. He said not all of us sit around with champagne bottles waiting to uncork when a team gets near undefeated. We don't do that.
Yeah, but a lot of them do, though,
yeah,
right?
And like Mercury Morris.
What do you think old Shula's doing? Old Don, you know, patchy skin Shula's doing?
I guarantee last night he didn't need Viagra.
He put it to Mrs. Shula.
Dorothy?
Dot Shula.
Dot, I'm going to do you tonight like when we did it on that Nutrisystem ad.
We're going to fly around the country. We're going to go to every Shula's restaurant.
Tell you what, Dot.
Yeah, baby.
Look at this. It's 1st and 10 in my crotch.
My crotch is on fire. I'm Don Shula. This is real great. We're going to keep our perfect record. Come on over here. I'm going to bend you over the sofa.
Yeehaw! And during the pregame show, I don't mind the mixing of entertainment and sports.
Mm-hmm. Well, not when there's Paula Abdul involved.
But it just made me want to puke every time that the four dummies are sitting there inside the stadium, and then they'd say, now let's throw it back out to Ryan Seacrest.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just, you know, I know.
Well,
they
because, you know, I really don't think American Idol gets enough promotion.
Right. Or Ryan.
They want to cross-pollinate. Mm-hmm. They want to cross-promote. But really, yuck.
Right.
And what's funny is the red carpet appeared to be about 2 yards long, mm-hmm, and was literally 2 miles away from the stadium.
Right, Right. I didn't know that they had a whole carnival there. I saw the Ferris wheel when they'd show the long shot. That looked fun.
Did you see when they would accidentally use the wrong angle at the red carpet and revealed there was only about 80 spectators?
Oh, really?
You know, the way they shot it, they wanted you to think it was, you know, 20 people deep and a mile
long. Like waiting in the parking lot ready to go into the game.
There was nobody there.
And listen, Tom Petty, I know your wife's a huge fan, Buzz. Good tight set. There's been some rumor that maybe it was lip sync today. Don't know about that.
No.
First question I would have is, why Tom Petty? I think I asked that before.
Well, I would say it was a good move for him to grow the beard.
Nothing against Tom Petty. He's got a couple of songs that are decent.
Think it was a real beard, or do you think it was theatrical makeup?
That's his real beard.
But why does the NFL insist on when whoever the halftime show is starts, they release the Up With People kids who have the armbands on,
and
they all stand in front and sway back and forth?
Who've never heard a Tom Petty song.
They've all been alive. Shorter. I mean, he had a hit record out
right
back before they were. His last hit was before they were born.
Don't you think there's something dignified about elderly rockers, though?
I do.
There's something
the fact
about
that
those
held on.
Yeah. Whenever I see like one of those gray-haired guys up there, there's something dignified about him. There really is.
I thought it was Don's brother Jim.
It says it says that Tom Petty is a huge pussy because what the NFL is saying is, we want to make sure we have something that
sanitized,
that will not offend.
Right.
And did you ever think that you would live to the day when Tom Petty would be safe and sanitized?
Right.
And,
no. But Tom Petty was never a real rebel, was he?
I mean,
you're a huge fan.
In the
Buzz.
Industry,
yeah,
he was,
very
right?
much so against the record companies. He railed against increases in record prices and a lot of different things. In fact, somebody at some point burned his house down in Los Angeles. He was so controversial at one point.
Did you enjoy the big neon phallus at halftime?
Now, am I the only one, right?
No, you're not.
It looked
the only one.
Like a big old penis.
You mean the arrow going into the heart?
And as soon
if
as
that's
I,
what you want to see it as,
as
sure.
soon as I said,
Cupid's quiver.
It sure does look like a penis. They
changed the angle.
Cut right to the other shot.
I noticed that Tom Petty and the hip breakers.
I thought they were like bringing him in on the arrow. I thought you were going to see him riding the arrow.
The numbers are in. At one point last night in the final quarter, between 9:30 and 10 p.m., over almost 106 million people were watching. It's the most watched Super Bowl ever. Average throughout the broadcast, 97.5 million people.
As you know, each rating point, Don, represents 3.1 people.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank
it
you.
Still amazes me, even though we analyze the commercials, and we do, and that's become part of the draw for the money that they charge for them. How many people take that opportunity and just run an average car ad
or
some bad animation? I just it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it.
That's people. People are stupid.
People.
So you're looking forward to taking over?
Oh, stop that. You did that on purpose.
You're goddamn right.
You did that to me on purpose.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.